The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go. That's right. It's the Halloween episode.
Y'all can't see it, but my shoulders are going crazy for this one.
Hell yeah. Boom, boom. We really gotta get a video situation going because people, again, didn't we say it at the top of the other last episode where we're like, we're so hot and it's, yeah.
It's really depriving the public, but yes. Okay. Hello.
Welcome to Final Girl Standing. Hi, David. Welcome to Final Girl Standing. This is a podcast where I, Alyssa, and my co-host.
I am Jessie. I am the co-host.
Where me and Jessie take iconic Final Girls from horror movie fame, pit them against each other in a March Madness style bracket to see who will be
the final girl standing.
Jessie, did you have a shout out you wanted to do at the top of the app?
Yeah, I wanted to make a shout out to our number one fan and listener, David. David, can't wait
David!
To hear. He texts us the analysis and his thoughts after like every episode we post. And
it's incredible.
Yeah, the real star and of our heart.
I would like to shout out David because we told David that this season was going to come out in January of 2026. We are now currently in April of 2026 and it hasn't come out yet. But if you're hearing it, if you're listening to it, that means it's out, which is exciting.
Oh, yeah. So exciting. Okay, hi, David.
Anyway,
that's it.
If you're not David and you're like, what is this podcast? Let's tell you about it. This is Final Girl Standing. Like I said, me and Jessie, we pit Final Girls against each other in a March Madness style bracket. And today we are pitting our final girl of season three bracket of our franchise, ladies, which is one Miss Laurie Strode.
Yep. Laurie Strode today is going to fight herself. And
she's going to fight herself.
Yeah. This is our franchise girl season. But if you are unfamiliar with what a final girl is, let me tell you our criteria up at the top.
Tell them about it, Jessie.
Yes. So a number of people have to die in the film and she must survive that film. She has to be a key player in eliminating the threat. The one left to tell the tale. She has to embody the spirit of the final girl. If you've seen as many horror movies as we have at this point, you'll understand the spirit.
Yes, correct.
And of course, franchise girls will get their own bracket, and we're in that bracket as we freaking speak. This is the last episode of tier one.
Woo!
Yeah, we move into tier two next, which is beyond exciting. Now, it is very important to note that we reserve the right to break these rules at any time, which we won't be doing today, technically.
I mean,
Laurie's
we
pretty
kind
classic.
Of are.
Well, I mean, okay.
Yeah, she is. We'll get into it. There's much discourse to discuss with Laurie Strode. But, I mean, in the tradition of a final girl, Laurie is one of the original, like, slasher final girls, right?
Yes.
When we think of the rich text as the final girl, we think about people like Laurie Strode. So, yeah. You're right. She is definitely one of the models.
Now, it's super important to note the two versions of Laurie that we're fighting because they might not be your immediate first guess. So the first one is Halloween H20, which is number 7, right, in the lineup, I'm pretty sure.
Like as far as, like, what period of the franchise she's in?
Yeah,
like
I think so. Isn't she, like, number 7
Is this
movie?
The 7th movie?
I have it written down here from, like, a previous conversation we had.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Yes. And then Halloween 2018.
And I think, so normally, like, when Jessie and I have been doing the franchise girls, we've been referring to them as, like, character one, character two, or, like, this movie. We're going to be referring to Laurie H20 and Laurie 2018 is going to be our Lauries.
Yes.
And with that, we have to get into it because, you know, like I said, the Laurie is the model of a final girl. However, the Halloween franchise is rife with controversy in the sense that it is not a linear franchise like the three other franchises that we have covered thus far. It's all over the fucking place. And we'll get into it with the canon events, but
I'm so interested to hear this because I got like a chaotic voice memo from Alyssa at one point saying that they're not in the same universe. And I was like, you're going to have to explain this to me in complete detail because I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But then after watching both movies, I was like, these are not the same universe. I don't know what's going on at all. So please, 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 please help me.
So, okay, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this episode structure for this season, please refer to the overture. But basically, the way that I've been doing the past three episodes is that I've been breaking down these characters' canon events. However, Halloween is not a linear franchise. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to break down the like essential canon events of Laurie from H2O and Laurie 2018. But I'm going to also kind of do an overview of the Halloween franchise timeline just real fast. So that way you understand what's happening. But we'll start off with the basic facts. That is Laurie Strode. When we first meet her, not in either of these films, but in the original Halloween 1978 film. Laurie Strode is a 17-year-old babysitter. She's an honor roll student. She is, you know, our classic virginal, you know, final girl who gets her shit rocked by a masked killer. Now, as I said, there are a multitude of timelines within the Halloween franchise, and Laurie from H2O, it technically exists in a different like Halloweenosphere than Laurie from 2018. And so just real briefly, I'm going to break down for you sort of what that timeline is, okay? So the first film of Halloween is launched in 1978, right? So the original Halloween of 1978 is where we get Laurie and when we get Michael Myers, right? The titular slasher flick duo, right? Then 1981 is when we get Halloween 2. Halloween 2 is technically in the canon of Laurie H2O, because in Halloween 1, we have Laurie, she and her friends most of her friends are murdered by Michael Myers, this masked killer. And for context, Michael Myers is a masked killer who's been killing people since he was a young boy. When he was, I think, like 6 years old, he killed his sister. And then he was like locked into an insane asylum. And then he like escaped from the insane asylum on Halloween night, started murdering a bunch of teens. Right. He murdered a bunch of teens and then he almost murdered Laurie, but she got away by the skin of her teeth. And also because she got lucky, because again, Laurie probably should have died in Halloween 1, but that's for a different.
And, you know, most final girls do end up not dying purely out of luck.
Out of luck. Yeah, out of sheer luck, for sure.
So, yeah.
Right? So that's Halloween number one, right? That's the main thing you need to know about the canon universe is that both Laurie H2O and Laurie 2018 technically tie to the 1978 movie. What happens from there deviates greatly. So if we're sticking with Laurie H2O, right? Her canon events is she's a babysitter, she's 17, all of her friends get murdered, blah, blah, blah. She is able to escape the masked killer. And then Halloween 2, which is Halloween that drops in 1981, drops as a sequel, a direct sequel to Halloween, in which Laurie is like in the hospital recovering from the like attack. And like in the hospital, basically, like Michael Myers starts killing people in the hospital, like trying to find her. It is revealed in Halloween 2 that Michael is also her brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Yeah. Like just speaking from like what I just watched, it's literally like
in H2O.
They're like, actually, that's not her brother, but in H2O, 100% it is. Okay.
Yeah. So in H2O's canon, Laurie is Michael's brother, right? So we have Halloween 1, Halloween 2. And in Halloween 1 and Halloween 2 is kind of like when we get like the original like 70s, 80s Laurie. She's like a teen. And then at the end of Halloween 2, it looks like someone killed Michael Myers, but of course no one ever kills Michael Myers, right? And so then moving into the H2O timeline, what then happens is that H2O stands for 20 years later, Halloween 20 years later. Jesse, do you want to tell the people what you thought H2O was about?
So, okay. H2O is water, right? Like, we know this, and we know that that's what
it is. The periodic table.
And so, the periodic table, yes, exactly. If we reference the periodic table, we can tell that it is two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, I was so deeply confused because I'm watching this movie and I don't even think somebody drinks a glass of water. Like, I couldn't even tell you, like, I was baffled and awestruck, and like midway through the movie, Alyssa and I were FaceTiming and I was like, where's the water, babe? Like, like, why is and it I was like, underwater?
Wait, I'm sorry. Did you think that H2O, like, and okay, to be fair, like when I was referencing this, like I was referring to it as H2O, like in the context of being like, you know, like H2O just had water, that Disney or that Nickelodeon show about mermaids. And so that is my B for misleading you.
I was like, this isn't at a water park. Like, what's happening? Like, There's like a very popular in Texas. There is a very popular water park called NRH2O. All my Hudson Hills baddies know what I'm talking about. So like I just really thought anyway.
So it's yes, fine. Halloween H2O meaning 20 years later. So yeah. Halloween 20 years after Halloween 2 is the lore that we'll be talking about today. Basically, the canon events of this is that she faked her own death after the events of Halloween 2. She faked her own death and then took on a new alias, which is Carrie, the principal of a elite Northern California prep school. She becomes a boy mom. And then the continuation of sort of the events go from, so again, this is the H2O timeline. We have Halloween 1, Halloween 2, Halloween H2O. And then actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, Jesse, which I didn't tell you, but there is a follow-up film to Halloween H2O, and it's Halloween Resurrection that does continue her storyline. It's a few years later, and she's, like, kind of in a psychosis because she's, like, she turns out, you know how she, quote-unquote, killed Michael Myers at the end of this movie? Yeah. She didn't. So what happened was, is that Michael Myers, like switched clothes with the emergency truck driver and like taped his mouth shut. So that way he couldn't like, you know, say anything. And then she axed him in the face. And so she basically killed someone for no reason.
Okay. I fully thought that's what was happening because of the way that he woke up and was like moving around confused.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, that is not Michael Myers. And then she never takes the mask off, which I was like, okay, you fucking idiot. Sorry, Lori.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis, I didn't mean to say that. But like, it's just like, and then she like chops his fucking head off. And I'm like, I thought the mask was going to fall off the head. And then we were going to see that it wasn't him. And like that would be in it. But yeah. Okay.
So the way that the timeline for Lori in H2O ends is actually that she dies in Halloween Resurrection when she... she's like in the hospital and then like Michael comes to the hospital. Michael likes to go to hospitals in this franchise, let me tell you, because he does it in two. He does it in Resurrection. He also does it in the Halloween kill, like the Halloween 2018 timeline. Anyway.
Yeah.
So basically like Lori like jumps off a building, and dies.
Oh my God.
At like the beginning of Halloween Resurrection. So technically she dies in this timeline, but we're really not focused on that. We're focused on Halloween H2O. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So let's just speed run the 2018 timeline, okay?
Yep.
So the 2018 timeline is a direct sequel to Halloween 1978. So Halloween 1978 happens. Nothing else in the franchise happens until Halloween 2018. So again, Laurie Strode is a babysitter. All of her friends get murdered. She, you know, survives. And then according to the 2018 timeline, she then like has like a tumultuous life full of alcoholism and like failed marriages. She has a daughter. That daughter gets taken away from her by CPS when she's 12. And then her daughter has a daughter. And basically Lori, like, you know, reconnects with them when Michael busts out the insane asylum once again, and starts killing bitches. Now in the Halloween 2018, like the canon events of Halloween 2018 are basically that, like, Michael busts out, like starts killing bitches. Right. And Halloween 2018 ends with, you guessed it, Michael Myers, we think, is dead. Of course not. Actually, there's two more films in the Halloween 2018 timeline.
Two?
Halloween Kills and Halloween... Yeah. Yeah.
Recently?
Halloween... Yeah. Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. Halloween Kills comes out in 2021. Halloween End comes out in 2022. Now, If you have seen all three of these movies, which I have, you know that they could have been one movie. And actually, in fact, they should have been no movies. But here we are, regardless. So basically, the timeline of events that happens after the film 2018 is that Michael starts chasing people around in the hospital after he, like, magically gets out of the fire that's burning the house down that he's in. He starts killing people. Yeah, it's he like kills a bunch of firefighters. It's a whole thing. We don't need to get into it. It's stupid.
They show the bunker at the end, like empty but on fire.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how? Explain yourselves. Explain yourselves to
David
me.
Gordon Green, director and writer of Halloween 2018.
Okay, thank you. I was like, I actually don't know who the director is for that. But like, who is okaying these timelines? Like, John Carpenter, is he involved in these conversations?
Like, no, I don't. Well, you know, he actually did the music for 2018. Like, he orchestrated, I think, the music for 2018. He's like very involved, like, in that sense. But I don't know. I do not know. It's a question. It's a question for like Prince, maybe, but our pod father.
We have to ask our father.
Yeah, our father who art in pod heaven.
Who art in California.
Who art in California. Okay, anyway, so just to kind of bip through the 2018 timeline, which again, we're not really going to be talking about, but I just wanted to kind of give people an overview. In the 2018 timeline, we have Halloween and then Halloween Kills. Basically, what happens in Halloween Kills, Michael be killing bitches. He kills literally like everyone in a mob. Like, he kills like an entire mob of people. And then he kills Lori's daughter. And so then Lori and her granddaughter like move away to like move on in their lives. That doesn't go well, obviously. And then Michael comes back, and then they kill Michael by like slitting his wrists and his throat, and he bleeds out. And then like the whole town like yeets him like into like an incinerator. And so yeah, and that's how that ends.
Jesus Christ.
And okay, real quickly, just to kind of bip you through the, like, because, okay, let me see, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There's 13 Halloween films. Oh, that's a good number.
There's
13 Halloween films, and the two timelines we just mentioned are only two of the universes in which Halloween happens. There's also technically a timeline, I think it's called in the nerd forums, they call it the Thorn timeline, which is Halloween 1, Halloween 2, and then Halloween 4, 5, and Halloween The Curse of Michael Myers, which all happen sort of on the same timeline. And then there's the Halloween H2O timeline, there's the Halloween the Halloween 2018 timeline, and then there's three other Halloween films that technically have no, like, don't exist at all within the greater Halloween universe, and that is Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, which is a movie that came out in 1982, and the goal of Halloween 3 was to kind of make the Halloween an anthology franchise and not have it be about Michael Myers. So Halloween 3 Season of the Witch is like has nothing to do with Michael Myers and is completely like outside of the franchise of like what's happening. And then there's the Rob Zombie Halloweens, which is Halloween and Halloween 2, which came out in 2007 and 2009. So the Halloween franchise is rife with crazy shit.
Yeah, people really do be loving that particular and title. It's, is it just the title? Like, I don't,
it's the title, because honestly the majority of these films are not good films. is my hot take. As we experienced betwixt the two. But now that we've kind of really bipped through that, Jesse, we have to do astrological speculations.
Okay,
for this bitch.
Thank you. I have been writing some things down. Okay.
Great.
About our
let's hear it.
Lori Strode. So most of the notes that I have written down for her astrological stuff have to do with the way she behaved in H2O. However, we might have to assume that, like, they're not going to have the same chart.
I was actually going to ask you if you could do two different charts for me.
Because I feel as I'm, like, watching these movies, like, I wrote down a couple of things, like, especially with all the prepper stuff going on from 2018, where I was just like, I don't know, Virgo, like, Sag, the way she just kind of, like, does whatever the fuck she wants. You know what I mean? It's very, like, Sag.
Period.
Energy. And then I just wrote like Taurus period, because I just feel like it's giving Taurus
for 2018. Lori,
yes, like,
okay, yeah,
there's a prepper thing, there's like a I'm okay, like I want to be in complete control of the situation and everybody else is not being serious enough about this. You know what I mean? There's like some of that going on. But I will say for the H2O just out of water, Lori, I definitely wrote complicated and horny.
Period.
She is okay. So my first, I don't even know if I like wrote a sun sign, but I wrote a lot of like the other little planets because I was like,
okay, yeah.
Scorpio, Venus, and let me tell you why.
Fascinating. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Because.
Yes.
Because she was declaring witness protection immediately pre-coitus. Like, what is happening? Like, they were in the middle of getting hot and heavy. Man who she chooses. Oh my God. This is going to open up a rich text. What is the origin stories of this fucking complicated relationship?
I know.
Psycho for her to choose that. Maybe she's a Sagittarius, like in this one, because like
sun?
Yeah, because like Sagittarius has a way of like having some wisdom, but doing like the opposite of their wisdom most of the time.
Interesting. Okay, yeah.
There's just like risky choices being made, I guess. Like, you know what I mean? Where you're just like, okay.
It was giving Aries moon to me a little.
Okay, I could see that. Like, there's some impulsive, like, things happening. This man chewing gum while making out with...
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
I was like, spit that gum out, you psycho counselor. Okay, so anyway, okay. She really does give Taurus, though, especially in 2018. Mercury, okay, so this is another thing that's mostly from H2O, but rings a little bit true in 2018 as well. Mercury in Sag or Gemini, like, because there's a lot of quick back and forth between her and her son. At one point, she goes to the waiter. She's like, Chardonnay, and he, like, doesn't. And then she goes, today. And it's like, okay, Jesus Christ. Which could also relate to something like an Aries moon. I could see that too.
And also she's like a functional alcoholic.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure, for sure, for sure. She's also deeply connected to Michael. This is something that like I think is key to talk about. She sees like the patterns and the logic before anyone else. And so everybody thinks she's crazy because she's just like, he's out. Like, I know he's out, and I know what he's going to do, and I know who he's going to target, and I know when. Just based on a couple of encounters with this guy, she is immediately connected to him, which also makes me feel Scorpio, like, Scorpio-Venus, because that's still a relationship. Do you know what I mean? Like, one relationship thing going on.
And, well, also, that's her brother in H2O.
And it's her brother in H2O. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Exactly. So, okay.
You know?
So, those are my thoughts, but I would really love to hear yours as well.
Yeah. So, okay. I technically do have, I don't have a chart. I think I told you I had a chart. I don't have a chart. I have a sign. I have a sun sign based on, again, dubious wiki fandom information. And again, I don't, if anyone knows anyone who works at wiki fandoms, can you tell them I have a personal beef with them just inventing fucking birth dates for these bitches?
It is cool and bad.
It is. It's weird. And I'm like, please stop. I really resonate with Taurus 2018. I feel like Taurus 2018 is pretty solid. I'm gonna say something crazy.
Okay.
I feel like her sun sign in H2O is Scorpio.
Okay. Okay, very interesting. You think she's like-
She gives Scorpio woman, in my opinion. Oh yeah, yeah. She's giving Scorpio woman, I think, in H2O. The reveal of this birth date is really gonna It's incorrect. This is incorrect, in my opinion, but, like, sure. Okay? So her birthday is February 22nd, 1961, which makes her a Pisces.
Okay. Interesting. Because I almost said Pisces something because of that connectedness to Michael. Like, there's that, like, deep empathy, weirdly connected, like, in kind of the subconscious dream world of things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's, like, constantly haunted by him, you know? And, like, that big emotional traumatic event, like, really stays with her. Like,
yeah, I mean, she's definitely trauma queen in both of these ones. But also, like, I think Pisces is not correct sun-wise. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that
it's weird.
She Pisces could definitely have Pisces, like, in the chart, maybe in, like... I would say even, like, in, like, no. I honestly, like, I don't know where I'd put the Pisces, but, like, It feels like, I don't know, it's giving Pisces moon?
I don't know. I think it's actually more, because she's not that emotional. She's just like wild.
Yeah.
It's more like Pisces Mars. Like,
oh,
she takes action when she gets a gut feeling.
Yeah. About... She makes emotional decisions based on intuition. Yeah. Okay, period. So, yeah. And that's what I have to say about that.
I actually love the Scorpio Sun choice because it's a water sign.
It's H2O. H2O. Am I right?
It was in the chart.
Am I right? Okay, excellent. Well, then let's just dive into scores, shall we?
Okay, let's do it. What do you want to do? You want to H2O first? Do you want to go
H2O first? H2O first. Yeah, here, I can go first for H2O. Okay. Okay, so H2O. Also, H2O, an incredible film. Just want to say that right off the bat.
Yeah, should we talk about the movie just for a second?
Yeah, So something that I think is funny is that, like, when we went into this, the two like preconceptions I had about these films is that I saw Halloween H2O when I was in like high school, right? And I think some man was like, "It's a shitty Halloween movie," and so I was like, "Yeah, it's a shitty Halloween movie." And so that was like all the understanding I had from Halloween H2O is that, like, when I was maybe 16, I saw this movie and some guy told me it was bad, so I was like, "Sure." And then Halloween 2018 is something that I saw when it came out in 2018. And I was like, this is a good Halloween movie, right? And then I ended up seeing like Kills and Ends, Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends, and I was like, these are awful movies. But I remember being like, I think Halloween 2018 still holds up, right? And so when we went to go watch these films, I was pleasantly shooketh when I found out that actually 2018 is a dog shit film and Halloween H2O is cinema.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion.
No, I agree. Like, H2O is like a fun Halloween romp, and like 2018 was not that fun and honestly like pissed me off in a lot of ways.
Yeah, everyone in the movie of 2018 is annoying except for one character. And Jesse, which character do you know what it is?
I think it's the best friend.
No.
Oh, what? You think she's not annoying? Or you think she's annoying?
I mean, honestly, she's probably one of the more redeemable characters for sure.
Oh, is it the granddaughter?
No.
Wait, what?
It's a major side character. It's not one of the main characters.
Oh, there is okay. One... Well, that's what I thought. I thought you were going to pick like a more main character. I was putting niche things. Is it the little boy who wants to go to dance?
Absolutely.
Okay. That is the first thing that I wrote down. I was like, that's Alyssa's.
The young boy who's being babysat is the only person I fuck with in this entire movie. Oh, incredible.
I'm talking about someone else.
Send Dan first. Oh.
No, I do love that little boy too. He was the second one I wrote down. This is so okay. Funny. Okay, wait. This discourse is incredible. We've completely like okay. Little boy in the car who
oh the gay dance boy
discover the bus yes. And he was like,
okay.
He was like, I just want to go to dance and like I do also want to go hunting. I was like, contain multitudes, kid. Like, I love this for you. Like, have this also, honest conversation with your dad. Like,
it's so funny that you say this though, because that's one of the reasons why I hate this fucking movie, is because like, why is that in there? Like, why, like what? It's so it's like this very random fucking moment in the movie
where I don't
it's
just know
like
why.
And it's that moment. And it's also like the moment when the cops are talking about like
about the sandwiches.
Yeah, bun. I was like, the Vietnamese like sandwich. I'm like, what are we doing? Who wrote this film?
Somebody thought they like ate with that dialogue. They were like, this is what people talk about, which they're not wrong. But it was also like, what the fuck is this doing in this movie?
It's anyway. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. So long story short, just some initial hot takes about the film is that it's cinema. Also, Kevin Williamson produced this film, apparently, who is the writer of Scream. And shout out, because we get a Scream 2 cameo in this film.
Yes, in H2O.
In H2O,
yeah. Sorry, we just flipped to 2018 again, so I'm...
I know, yeah. Sorry, H2O. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for keeping us on track. Yeah. But anyway, long story short, H2O is cinema. With that being said, should I hop into the scores, or do you want to say anything about H2O?
I just wanted to say that we need LL Cool J's
The novel. Erotica!
Give us...
Yes!
Release the novel. JGL, baby JGL is in this.
I know. Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in this. And I'm like, hello,
and sir? He does such good acting.
I was like, is this Heated Rivalry when he like had the hockey stick out? And I'm like, oh my God.
I was like, oh, good little actor boy. And then I was like, uh-oh, ice skate. He died. Okay.
Uh-oh, ice skate. Okay. Great. So, Halloween H2O. First thing off the bat is that this hoe faked her own death. Okay. Right. So like she faking your own death is a logistical like nightmare, you know?
I thought it was witness protection. Like I thought
she. No, it was. She faked her own death.
Oh my God.
She faked her own death and then like restarted life as Carrie. Yeah, it's a, like she did that. Like that's a whole fucking thing, right? That's like the logistic, and that leads me to also believe that like maybe there's some sort of like Capricorn shit going on there too.
Yeah. Also, that actually does give Scorpio for me.
Really? Yeah. I mean, faking your own death and then like yeah. For sure. Yeah. To avoid your trauma.
Yeah. I can see Pisces doing that too. Also, yeah, Pisces sure. Okay. Escapism for all the drinking.
True. Okay. Yeah. She's got trauma nightmares. Like many a final girl, she has trauma nightmares. She's a boy mom, which I think is notable because in the other one, she's a girl mom. You know.
Yep.
And I feel like that really plays into the dynamics. You know.
Yes.
She is popping an insane amount of pills when her son opens the pill cabinet and is like, which pill? I'm like, there is at least 12 pill bottles in there, Diva. Like, okay. All right. Also, I love that the context of that she was married to an abusive chain smoking methadone addict and he left her. Again, it's giving Scorpio.
I was like, whoa. Also, that son just had that in his back pocket.
Like, I know. That son was like locked and loaded with that. She's giving hot academic MILF in this, though.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. She is triggered by small children in Halloween costumes. Like the Halloween, the small children running around. She's like, oh, you know what I mean?
I like wrote like the. She's got the hallucinations, and I think they're really, like, leading to her being scared of, like, almost everything. So I wrote -1,000 for that.
Yeah. I also called her a Chardonnay shoddy because she loves that Chardonnay. She's a Chardonnay mommy, you know?
She really is. Yeah.
She does. I gave her 10 out of 10 bouncy houses for, like, how jumpy she is, you know?
That's good. Yeah, I like that.
I gave her a strong pour game, for the way that she like drinks alcohol. Like the generous pour that she gave herself on her like little night in. I was like, damn, shoddy. All right.
Yeah. No, she's drowning something
with the straight up vodka.
Yeah.
She stays strapped. She stays strapped. I gave her a pillow princess rating for having a gun underneath her pillow.
Wait, that's she just hilarious.
Like she just like pulled out a gun from underneath her pillow. I'm like, all right, this bitch stays strapped, right?
Yeah, I said weapon grabbing. Like that's kind of I was like 12 out of 10. Yeah, we'll get into that, but keep going.
I gave her a 10 out of 10 for one-liners because when like shit starts to go down, he goes, what do we do now? And she goes, try to live. And then the music kicks in and I'm like, period.
Yeah.
I was gonna say she's got hella brave girl energy. You know what I mean? Like she's very like I'm running towards shit kind of thing.
Yeah.
I gave her a I have two things to say about this. I gave her a like coming out of the closet award, like a Vanguard award for coming out of the closet because she like very, very like notably in this film. Like, she opens a closet door, like, as, like, a place to hide. And then she's like, fuck that shit. Because, like, in the original, like, she, like, is very dumb and, like, hides in a closet. And, like, it's very silly and stupid. And Michael, like, you know, tries to do all this shit. And so, like, it was a very good callback of being like, fuck this closet, right? But I was also like, she's afraid of closets. Gay?
Huh? Gay? Jamie Lee Curtis has been rocking that haircut for a long time.
I know.
So I also wrote, I put planning well, like in the moment because of the bloody doorknob thing.
Yes. Like, yeah.
That was actually like really ended up being pretty strategic, which I liked.
Yeah, for sure. Axe wielding. She's wielding an axe, right?
Yep.
And again, I think I mentioned it, that she does a lot of running towards things in this one, which I think is kind of like something that we've explored in several other Final Girls, which is like the classic, like, new Final Girl trope is running towards your fears and not away from them, right? Yeah. I did give her a hashtag classic Final Girl for literally dropping every weapon once she's used it once.
Yes, she does. She's good at, what is the word? Acquiring. Good at acquiring something, using it once, and then dropping
it. And then dropping
it. Flagpole, gun.
Yeah.
Axe. Yeah.
I gave her a 10 out of 10 Simone Biles for being nimble as hell underneath those tables. Like, she was really bebopping around under those tables. And I'm like, hell yeah, diva. I gave her negative 10 knife handling skills, though, for literally not landing a single knife throw at Michael. When she, has knife throwing. There's, 50 knives and just, throws all of them.
She just drops them on the floor and it's just no.
Yeah.
It's 0 out of 10 knife throwing skills is what I read.
Yeah, absolutely negative 10 for knife throwing on that one.
Oh, my God.
She is, what I do appreciate her is that she is a double tap bitch. Like, she was like, I'm going to double tap it. And then LL Cool J came in and was like, don't double tap it. And I'm like, LL Cool J, hello.
What was he thinking? He was like, don't. It's like,
he's like, he's like, she's dead. It's over. He's dead. And it's like, well, can we just find out? You know what I mean? Can we just confirm?
We thought he was never more.
Trust but verify, you know?
Why can't we just let her stab him? Just do it.
I was also going to say that she takes the cop's gun and goes to takes the axe and go to double tap Michael. And I just wrote, I support women's rights and their wrongs. I really, honestly, I was like, yeah, do it, diva. Take this man's gun. And that being said, though, while I don't really agree with the execution of the plan of, the way it all went down, it was very haphazard. I do love the energy. You know what I mean? I love the energy that she brought to that, which is, I'm going to finish this, right?
Yeah.
Was it well executed? No. No, it wasn't.
The way I was like, what the fuck is she doing? I wrote in parentheses or in quotes up at the top, grab a cop's gun crazy, because that's a line from 30 Rock. She's like, she's crazy. Grab a cop's gun crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. And so when she did that, I was like, girl, I wrote the same thing, but I wrote PhD in doing the most, because she literally was like, I'm going to get it. And then I'm going to take the car and then I'm going to drive it.
And then she crashes
I was like, girl, you had so much support. This is the other thing. Michael thrives in the 1v1.
Yeah.
And she was surrounded by people.
Yeah.
And then she reaches for him and then she's like, no.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She chops his head off.
I did write in all caps, yas, slay, mama, when she axed him in the head. And then my final note here is that the moral of the story of this film, to take from your bit, is wear your seatbelt.
Wear your seatbelt.
Because you know what? She didn't go crashing through the window, but Michael did.
Yeah.
Well, except it wasn't Michael, turns out. You know?
I love that. I didn't even write a moral of the story, so good job.
Perfect. Excellent. Okay. Perfect. Do you have any other things to add for H2O notes? Scores, thoughts, feelings?
I wrote, wants to be a good mommy, but that's hard when your son is taking care of you, you know?
Period. So, yeah.
Generational trauma. Anything else I wrote was just about decision-making skills for dating the counselor. I'm so mad about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should return to that real quick, though. But poor decision on her part. And also, I think, again, really speaks to, it's Scorpio to me. It's just
No, I get it. Sagittarius. There's something there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I literally wrote, head of the school porking the guidance counselor. Yikes. Cool.
Oh, also, well, one other thing that I want to say is that this is the fact that I'm literally making this a point is so ridiculous. The girl who, the Not the son's girlfriend, but the other girl is bisexual. I just want to make sure that we all know that.
The best friend in the yellow shirt?
No, the four kids in the movie? The son, yeah. His girlfriend, and then the other girl and the other boy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The other girl is bisexual. I know this to be true. And yeah. That's all I have to say about
and
that.
And that's, there's like a quote she wrote down where she was just like, no sex games until I eat. And I was like, girl, I hear you.
Girl, same. Okay. Should we dive into 2018 scores?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. You want to go first?
Well, I started by writing 2018, a seasoned Lori.
a seasoned Lori. A Lori that's been well done.
She's well done. And it's Blumhouse, which is,
yes,
exciting, I guess.
Yeah.
I also wrote that I think that the dad is the villain, just outside
of the scores. Oh, my God. Every character is annoying, but the dad is particularly annoying.
The penis peanut butter comment. I was like, turn off the TV. I'm going to turn off my TV. Like
the way that like I would have like if I were Lori, I would have shot this man. I would have been like, I'm so sorry, honey. I know that you like have a kid with this guy, but I'm gonna put a bullet in him if he talks to me ever again.
He also talked about like doing peyote.
Yeah, with the boyfriend's dad. It's weird. It was weird. He's weird. 0 out of 10.
I was like, absolutely not. Okay. Scores. Sorry, I just had to get those two things out of the way because the way my jaw was on the floor, I was like, absolutely not. Okay. So first off, we start with 20 out of 10. Let's get it out of the way. Prepping skills. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Period.
The house speaks for itself. I mean. Yeah.
I mean, it's a fortress of solitude, you know?
Correct. Gate, floodlights, intercom system.
And as we get to in the end, it's not a cage. It's a trap.
It's a trap. And she really, really crushed it with that. I love all the little like surprises in the house. You know what I mean? As we go. It's a good time. She gets grandma points for giving the granddaughter that podcast money or whatever.
Also said cool grandma energy.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like she's like, go to Mexico.
Like, yeah, go to Mexico.
Okay. Like, okay. Target practice queen, 1,000 Annie get your guns.
Annie get your guns.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And that Annie does get her gun, let me tell you.
let me tell you.
I also put most planful bitch on the planet. Now, I say this separately from prepping skills because she just like is like planful. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
H2O could never. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was not
on. She's got plans upon plans. Yeah.
H2O was like much more reactive, whereas like this one like has full control over every situation in every room she's in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Except for like sometimes her emotions freak out. You know, it happens to the best.
Yeah. Sometimes she has trauma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gun knowledge. She's a John Wick baddie. The way she was talking about the different guns and like you know, tactical.
I called her Second Amendment mommy.
Ooh, okay, yeah, for sure. Lori does like have the right.
Lori does have the right.
Yeah.
To bear arms. Okay.
Bear arms. Her arms are bared.
Her arms are bared.
And then she's such a bad mom. She's like negative 1,000 for mommy warmth. She somehow makes H2O look like a really good mom. Like,
yeah.
That's how bad of a mom she is. Like, CPS, for
she
sure.
Took her child away.
They were literally like, no. This woman should
not have a
child. And that was the right call.
That was the right call.
She also carries the skill of find a weapon. Like, the skillet at the end. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. So she still has that in her bones, even though it's a different universe.
And I will say what she has over Lori H2O is she holds onto a weapon longer.
Okay.
She doesn't hold onto a weapon long enough, but that's a final girl thing. But she does hold onto a weapon much, like, Lori H2O literally uses it and then drops it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what? That's fine.
You know what? That's her prerogative.
And that's her prerogative. And that's why she's being talked about on podcasts. So those are my scores. What else you got?
Okay, before I get into, I basically the same thing, but also, yo, Danny McBride produced this?
What?
Yeah. I was like, when the credits were rolling at the beginning, it says, like, producers, and then one of them says Danny McBride, and I'm like, wiggity what now? So,
okay, Danny.
I don't know what's going on there, but that's, I found that fascinating. Okay. Okay, yeah. I also, just a couple, basically the same things that you said, but also I wanted to shout out to long hair Lori in this version, because we get short hair Lori for the majority of H2O, right? And don't get me wrong, Jamie Lee Curtis, that's an excellent haircut for Jamie Lee Curtis in the 90s, you know?
Yes.
But I was saying that she was serving MILF in H2O, and she is serving GILF in 2018.
Oh, GILF, really? You think?
Yeah. I think that she serves GILF in like a, not in like an out, like she doesn't serve, like she's not serving cunty GILF, you know what I mean? But she's serving cool grandma in a way that's giving GILF, you know?
Yeah. Like this grandma still fucks.
Like, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay.
Like in a way that I'm like if she wasn't so traumatized, I'm sure she'd like have a train of men. You know what I mean? That she's like, you know, got on
for sex because she's a Scorpio. Yeah, right? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You know, knows way around a gun, Second Amendment mommy, blah, 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 blah. I was gonna say she really, I will say this. While she locks the fuck in act three, like she really is locked the fuck in. I am like kind of like, I feel like the execution of her sort of like plan in act three feels a little interesting, given that like she's waited like nearly 40 years at this point for this man to walk up in here, and she's like kind of not executing it well, you know? I'm like, if I had 40 fucking years, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
40 years. Like, I feel like I would have locked in a little harder.
Yeah, and she's dedicated her life like to this house and like making sure it's a trap. And I feel also the mannequin room execution time was
weird.
Like
I don't
why do you have a room full of mannequins if you expect there might be a man in there someday?
it's giving I was written into the plot for vibes, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the mannequin room is giving I was written into the plot for vibes. I gave her 10 out of 10 baby sharks for hand biting Michael. I gave her a top chef's kiss for the pan hit. And then the last thing I said, which is like kind of emo, but like when all three of them were like in the back of the truck together, I was like, aw, three generations of trauma. Adorable. Aww. And I was like, man,
trauma.
I miss my grandma. I'm like, damn. So this podcast episode goes out to Mary Jane, my grandma who passed away at the end of last year. Anyway, that is my score for fucking Lori 2018. And you know what that means, Jesse?
I know what it means.
It's tell the people.
Oh,
tell the people.
Okay, yeah. It's time to fight.
I was like, oh, do you have a moral of the story for any of them or just the,
I, okay. I feel.
It's okay if you don't.
The moral of the story is a gate might do nothing. Like.
Period.
I don't feel like. Let's not build the wall. Okay. Because it's not.
The moral of the story is don't build walls. Okay.
Don't build the walls. It's not going to do anything. If it's not stopping one man with a big knife, like it's not stopping anything else you don't want. Like gates might not be worth it. Okay, fam. Like
gates might not be worth it. What are we doing?
Like,
what are we doing?
It's like, what is it protecting at the school?
I know. Yeah. It's really, it wasn't successful in any iteration of this franchise.
Yeah, it's like, and the gate, the way I wrote down, like, in all caps, like, how, like, biggest plot hole in 2018 is that, like, they have the whole gate scene, and then, like, all of a sudden, Michael's just there. Like, he's just on the property.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Lori would have caught that on the fucking tape at the fucking gate if that would have been worth anything at all. Like,
yeah.
Ooh, it makes me so mad. Anyway, okay, that's all. That's the moral of the story. Gates don't work.
Where are we fighting? Where are we fighting, Jesse?
We are fighting at Lori's house. She put in a lot of work and we want to honor that.
Lori 2018's compound, specifically.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, sorry, sorry. The compound. Yes. Yeah.
The compound, if you will.
Oh, I also wrote drastically different interior decorating choices between H2O and 2018. So it makes sense that they're not the same person, technically.
Okay. So we have the compound, right? And when we're saying the compound, we're saying like the house and then also maybe the surrounding like wooded area where the target practices and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Okay. Okay. How do we incept this fight?
Well, it's Lori's. It's 2018's house, right?
True. So yeah, yeah.
I think she might be inside. Mm-hmm. And I think that we start with H2O walking up and getting hit with the floodlights.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like,
you know what I mean? Like she trips the floodlights and Lori's like, mm-hmm. someone's stuck in here. Mm-hmm. And Lori 2018, gotta specify, uh-huh. is like, someone's stuck in here. H2O is like, oh fuck. Like, and mm-hmm. she's really trauma lady, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so she like gets a jump from that happening and she's immediately in like self-defense mode.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and so this is at night then, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Excellent. So the lights flash, right? H2O is like, wiggity, what now? Right? and then I think the way that maybe the fight becomes incepted is that we have H2O, and I think I'm going to refer to them as H2O in 2018.
Yeah.
It's going to be the easier way to do it. H2O, you know, is on the lawn, kind of caught in the crosshair of the lights. I think 2018 Lori, like, you know, like she sees this bitch on the cameras, right? So the lights turn on, she sees this bitch on the camera. And I think that what 2018 Lori would do naturally is to arm herself, right?
Yeah. Grab a gun.
I think she immediately grabs a gun and arms herself, right? And I think that there is kind of a bit of like home advantage in this one, right? Because it is 2018 Lori's situation, right? However, what I will say about H2O Lori is that I think that she's an immediately kind of, she's a jump into action kind of hoe, right? So I think yes. that it doesn't take her very much to kind of jump into the situation. So I think, you know, we have 2018 Lori has got a gun. I think 2018 Lori has got a gun. And I think what she does, it sounds maybe insane, but I think what she does is she like pulls up a chair to the front door, right? And I think that she just like sits there with a fucking gun, like cocked. And it's just like I'm gonna blow this bitch away when she comes in, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I think that, you know, H2O Lori, like, we only have really seen her in response to crisis, right? Because, like, she wasn't in prepper mode because, like, she hasn't been preparing. She just was responding well to crisis, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that in this scenario, I think that, you know, she's kind of unawares. So I think that what she does is she kind of, like, goes up to the front of the house as if she's, like, going to try to, like, find a way to, like, you know, get in, right?
Yeah.
So unprepared and unaware as H2O Lori is, you know, like kind of like at the front door, right? And I think that because, you know, 2018 Lori can see her on the camera, I think what she does is she cocks the gun and she blows open the front door with the gun, right? Okay. And I think that it like just misses fucking H2O Lori. H2O. I think that okay. H2O Lori just kind of like out of like by the skin of her teeth fucking like sidesteps it, right? I think that H2O Lori is now kind of like in the shrapnel, like she is kind of like on the ground. But I think what happens is that when that kind of initial explosion happens, 20 or H2O Lori, because we know that she's very nimble, again, 10 out of 10 Simone Biles, yes. I think she rolls kind of like underneath the porch.
Okay, I love that. As she rolls, I think she grabs a piece of the door, like mm-hmm. a sharp piece of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Lori, so then 2018
mm-hmm.
steps out, like kind of like knocks open whatever the rest of the door there is to step out onto the porch, right? And it's the kind of thing where H2O is under the porch. She can see the feet, like, Jimmy mm-hmm, from underneath, mm-hmm. right?
Like and in a fucking, what's it called? In our favorite film.
In our Hush. Favorite film. In Hush. Oh, oh my yeah, God. Yeah. I really need to rewatch that. Okay. So she's under the porch. She's got her spiky stake.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori 2018 is going to mm-hmm. walk down the steps to get down on like ground level, I think, to mm-hmm. and survey essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when she turns to walk towards the side of the house, because I think her assumption is that H2O has now gone to a rat, like ran. Do you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, yeah.
She gets staked in the leg. Ooh, from underneath. Shit. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I think she gets staked in the fucking Achilles heel.
Whoa, okay. Symbolism, okay. Probably.
Symbolism, probably. Okay, so she gets staked. I think that what happens is that when she gets staked, the gun goes off again because, like, she 2018's reaction is, like, she's like, fuck, right? And so she, like, moves the gun to, like, go shoot. And I think that, you know, she gets staked and then, I think the stake is like still in her foot when she shoots. And you know, obviously H2O Lori is going to drop it immediately. Right. So I think that she drops the stake anyway. She doesn't pull it out of her. When she shoots, she shoots and the gun kind of drops because of the way she shoots. So I think that 2018 Lori is kind of disarmed and is trying to pull the stake out of her fucking heel, right? And I think in this moment, H2O Lori will take the moment to kind of like tackle Lori, kind of just like get her to the ground, right? Yeah. And then I think we're getting into a moment where, and hey, maybe this is playing dirty, but I think because 2018 Lori is long haired Lori, I think that H2O Lori pulls some fucking hair. Some
hair pulling. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think so. Pull some hair.
She tackles her to the ground. Is she on top? Like, is 2018's shoulders on the ground? You know what I mean?
I think, yeah, I think yes. And they're kind of grappling back and forth. So I think it's kind of like the shit, things are shifting, you know?
Okay, gotcha. So I think she's like pulling on her hair. I think she also might take this moment to also take keep wanting to call her Lori, but they're both Lori.
They're both Lori. H2O
is going to take a moment to, take 2018's glasses and chuck them.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Just for a slightly disadvantage. Because I think that while 2018... Like, 2018 is pretty hardy. I know she's older, but I think she would be staying strong.
She's robust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's robust, for sure. Like, low center of gravity. You know what I mean? Like, hard to knock over, hard to, like, you know, grapple with. And I think that H2O, I know that she has a lot of, like, dancerly moves and stuff like that, but I don't think she's as strong. So I think she's like pulling on the hair. She's doing these kind of cheap tricks to try to, you know, because I think that then 2018 Lori just gives a good old shove or like tries to roll over on top, like try to get the upper hand in this situation because you know she's been taking self-defense, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think also 2018 Lori has a knife.
Oh, like somewhere in her boot or something.
Yeah, like it's somewhere on her person, right? Yeah, and so I think that she, like, kind of is trying to get the upper hand, get the advantage. And I think that, again, she's still got she's got something jacked in the back of her fucking foot, right? And so I think that, you know, she's kind of, like, fumbling around trying to, like, grab the knife and maybe her leg or her boot or whatever it is, right? And I think that 2 H2O Lori, like, sees that she's fumbling around for it. And so she's also trying to, like, fumble around for it, like, on her person, right? And then I think that what happens is that 2018 Lori gets the knife, pulls it out, runs it into H2O's shoulder.
Okay, so it's in her shoulder.
Yeah. Okay, so now they both have objects within them.
Yes, okay. They both have things sticking out of them. That's good. Uh-huh. I think that if this is her shoulders being pinned down, by this knife, I think that in H2O's fumbling to try to find the knife as well, she feels the gun. And one thing about H2O is that she can really grab a weapon, like, in any situation. So she
feels the gun that was pushed aside, or Lori has another gun?
No. I thought that when 2018 got stabbed, she dropped the gun.
She did drop the gun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think they've been kind of tussling on the ground for a second. And so they've moved a little bit. And I think that – and they've rolled also.
Okay, yeah.
So I think in that moment, they've rolled closer to that gun.
And I want to clarify that gun is a shotgun.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when she grabs the shotgun, I think like her MO is going to try to wiggle it between them and see if she can shoot from under the... I'm doing a hand motion. I got to try to stop doing that. So let me paint a picture.
Yeah, paint us a visual.
Yeah, okay. So 2018 is on top. She's got the knife. It's jammed into the shoulder of H2O. H2O, frantically having searched around prior, has now got her hand around the shotgun's barrel. She's pulling it closer to get in between their bodies so mm-hmm. that the barrel of the gun is shooting. It's going to take some maneuvering, but it's pointing so that it can point up to 2018's chin to try to get a headshot in.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I think she can successfully get in between them, but I don't know what happens next.
I mean, I think that as we know in the literary world of Antonov Chekhov, right? If you put a gun on the wall in the first act, you gotta fire the trigger by the third act, right? So I think that H2O pulls the fucking trigger. And I think she blows fucking Lori 2018's brains out.
Whoa, holy shit. And like, it's possible that 2018 didn't even see what was going on totally, right? Like, because
she had the glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then H2O Lori moves on to the final, or not the final, but the next bracket.
Tier two,
which we're moving into after this episode.
Oh my God, which means she's going to be fighting.
Yeah, wait, okay, wait, this, what is the tier? Okay, wait, whoa.
She's fighting Ripley. Right.
She's fighting alien. Yeah, she's fighting hybrid alien Ripley.
Yes.
Okay, ooh. So that means okay, wow. Okay. Amazing.
I really thought that 2018 was going to wipe the floor with her, but
yeah.
Because it didn't all go into the house, I think that's why.
Yeah, I think the power of the MILF as well.
The power of the MILF. Yeah,
that's true. Okay, wow. Okay, so that means, so to let folks know, this is our final episode of Tier 1, which means the next episode you listen to will be moving into actual fights against actual, like, matches versus just the characters versus themselves. So, okay, wait, what does that mean? That means that we're doing Sydney. Okay, wait, we have to back it up. It is, so it's Halloween H2O versus Ripley 4.
Yeah. Then it is... Scream, which Scream did win? When?
Oh my God, who won in Scream? I think it was Scream 4.
Okay, so Sydney Prescott in Scream 4 and then Nancy in the second, like in Dream Catcher.
In Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors.
In Dream Warriors.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Nancy 3 versus, yeah. Wow. God. I'm so excited to see these matchups, dude.
What a wild world, y'all. Okay, I am also very, very excited. Let's see. What's that? What's that sound? Lark? Hark!
Chugga 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 choo choo! It's the appreciation train rolling into the appreciation station. That's right. We've come to the appreciation station, everyone. Thank you so much to Devin McNaughton and the Burly Girlies for being our intro to the pod. Devin McNaughton giving their incredible, sultrous voice and the Burly Girlies lending us the jam bop Horror for Horror.
Thank you so much, y'all. And thank you to Prince Jackson, who's our podfather, who we need to consult about the Halloween timeline. I mean, that shit is banana town.
We do.
And thank you to the Goodnight Network, because this is a Goodnight production. And we're so proud to be repping the Goodnight Network. We love it.
Repping the pod.
Do you have any general gratitude for us, Alyssa?
Some general gratitudes. Well, I do have one really important general gratitude, and that is... I want to thank the horror community for really thinking, for really, like, you know, just like being the homies. And I specifically want to shout out, I think I shouted out in my last episode when we talked about this, but the Goodnight Network's Goodnight Pod's fucking Discord has kind of been me and Jesse have had to watch a lot more movies this season than we've had in previous seasons. And so I, like, every time I do a movie, I, like, shout out, or I like drop it in the Discord and I'm like, y'all lock in with me. And so I just feel really held by the horror community. And just, like, generally, I feel like Jesse and I have been doing this pod for, like, what, 3 years, I guess it's been? Yeah. Like, and I just feel like every year, like, horror gets, like, the horror genre just get, like, it just keeps fucking popping the fuck off. And, like, you know, like, when we first started this, like, I feel like a horror movie would drop, like, you know, a couple times a year in the theater. I've seen, like, 3 horror movies this month in the theaters. And so I just want to, like, thank the horror fucking community for going out into the streets and fucking making pussy poppin' films for me to go see.
Thank you so much for the pussy poppin' cinema. And yeah. I totally agree. Like, I think that there's something from when we first started watching scary movies together, which was in like 2019.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To now, like, it is a completely different landscape for horror. For movies. Horror. Like, yeah. I'm constantly in the theater for horror. Like, it's yes. it's crazy. Yeah. And I'm,
yeah. So shout out.
It's incredible. And we'd love to hear it.
What about you, Jesse? Do you have a, oh, wait. I have to remember also that I want to thank you because I love you and you're my friend.
Oh my God, because I was just going to say that I'm thankful for you and I love you.
Oh my God.
I know. I'm so grateful for you. This is always so much fun. And yeah, I'm just grateful that I – you know what? I was about to throw some shade, but I don't really want to. I'm kind of in a weird zone. Because I was going to be like, fair. I'm just grateful I'm like not a prepper. But it's like, okay – no tea on them. I think I'm just like grateful that I don't hold that much fear in my body.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
And so, mm-hmm. yeah. So shout out to meditation and therapy. Am I right, you guys? I'm grateful for my therapist. There we go. We'll go for that.
Period. Period.
Period. Okay. I also want to thank the listeners.
David.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David. And also thanks to the three other of you who follow us on Instagram and have been like in my DMs for years now being like, when the fuck are we getting season three? Because it is coming to your feeds right now, divas.
We hear you. We see you. We love you. Thank you.
And we appreciate you for hanging in there.
And if you want to be one of those homies that's in our DMs, what can they do, Alyssa?
They can follow us on the social media. We have an Instagram account. It is going to be Final Girl Standing Pod. And we also have a Twitter account, which is FinalGirl_pod. As always, on the social media, we'll post the bracket and other relevant information about, you know, what's happening next episode. Speaking of relevant information, we will also be... Oh. The wind is blowing on my end. Sorry. We will also be posting, you know, just kind of like updates on, you know, the season and that sort of thing. So if you want to know more about what's going on with us, follow us on the socials.
Yes, absolutely. And on socials, you will see our next episode is coming out. And that is going to be our tier two episode. Franchise Girl tier two. Okay.
Franchise Girls tier two.
It's Sydney Prescott versus Nancy. We can't wait. We live, laugh, love doing these pods. So really exciting that we're stepping into tier two for this season.
Huzzah! All right. Okay. Sorry, I had to burp. If you want to edit that out in post, Jesse, I'll leave that to you.
I would never edit out your burps. They can deal with it. David can deal with it.
David will deal with it. Okay. Now, it has come to the moment at the end of this pod where we must reserve a moment of silence for our fallen Lori. I would like to take this moment of silence to honor 2018 Lori and all that she has brought to the Halloweeniverse. So, with that being said, and... moment of silence. Amen.
Amen.
For some reason, the Sarah McLachlan song, In the Arms of the Angel.
There's just like flashes of her like holding a bunch yeah. of guns.
All right. Yay.
Okay, see you for tier two.
Okay, bye.